Pleasure to be here this morning. More than I believe any other conference, I wanted to get into this conference. I've been spending quite a lot of time thinking about the church. Darren Carretero, I've been preaching messages in my rotation in the church, on the church, and importance of the church, and things like that. And building up this conference, I just really burdened that this is something we really need this year. It shouldn't become humdrum. It shouldn't become just another ritual, another format that we go through. I'm afraid so many times that's what things we do year after year. What is this, 26th mission conference, something like that? I've been here for 22 of them. 76
was that for?
Do the math. I don't even fish well. But there's a lot of times. Be real easy for this, and I'm sure in times it has. This is just something we got to go through, take a deep breath, and let's get the week over with and move on. But this is more important than what we realize. More important to you as a church, is more important to the missionaries, it's more important to those that are being reached through the outreach of this church. I wanted to be the first speaker. I don't know what I just really did. And so I thought about calling the elders and say, hey, I really got a burden here. But I didn't. I said nothing to nobody. I got the schedule from Brother Trini. I got an inside man. He's my concuño. And he put me first. And I praise the Lord. Now, either we're both in the spirit on this thing, or this can be the longest 40 minutes in history. But I had some words that I was thinking about this mission conference. It's very unique, which makes it very special. And it's very important and it's very necessary. It's unique for several reasons. One, nearly everyone you're going to hear this week came from this church. They're homegrown missionaries. That's very unique. Now, I wasn't born in Texas, much less saved in this church, but I got here just as quick as I could. And you've accepted me. In fact, the first meeting I came to, you were still down in the cement block building. It was the night that Donna was waiting for Eddie to come home from Germany. And Susan remembers what everybody was wearing. Donna. Susan remembered what everybody was wearing, and I remember the cement block building. So I feel like I'm part of the group, part of the family. But this is a special place because it's of your very own. You know, I was raised from the time I was very tiny in a Christian church. They supported missionaries, had missionaries came through and presented their work, asked for money, wanted money for their personal support, wanted money to build buildings, to buy articles, clothes, and shoes for the poor people they were dealing with. But not one time in 20-some years did one person go out of that church as a missionary. Not one person. Congregation 200, 250 people sometimes, and not one person went out as a missionary, even though they had a mission effort, even though they supported missions. We had a sister church about 10 miles away, and they had a missionary. Their own person went out of there, a lady. As a young girl, she committed herself to the Lord, and she spent her entire life in Sierra Leone, Africa, teaching children. And everybody called her Aunt Bernita. Just precious, precious lady. My sister married her nephew, and then I was related to a missionary, and that was a real special thing. I even dropped her name a time or two, you know, in a group of people, and they're talking about somebody they knew in the mission field. Well, I'm related to a missionary, Aunt Bernita, and they look at me like, hey, everybody's related to Aunt Bernita. That's why they call her Aunt Bernita, and it's a special thing that you have so many that have come out of this church. So many that the emphasis of this church has been to not only support missions, but to give to missions in personal sacrifice. People have packed up, left their jobs, left their lives behind, left the church behind, and went to a foreign field. They've offered up their own children, allowed their own children to go as missionaries and supported them, and we're thrilled to be a part of that giving. This is unique. You don't find that everywhere. A lot of missionaries went out of this church. Some stayed a few years, helped with the work, came back. Some are still there. Some may die there and be buried on the field. It shows a real emphasis in this church that we're concerned about missions. And many, the percentage has got to be very high of the members to those that have actually gone to the mission field. This is a unique place. It's very special. Don't menospreciar it. Don't. What?
Take it for granted.
Don't take it for granted. Thank you. Don't take it for granted. Don't overlook what God has done in this place. Another reason it's so very unique and special is because of the generations. The generations of missionaries. That Dale Nelda went down in 58. Lyndon Verlaine, first generation missionary. Lyndon Verlaine went down in 66. Norman, he'll be here later on. He first generation missionary went out, Dale's brother. So many that never before in the family had been this interest, and God touched their lives and went down, first generation. But what's so amazing is some of their children are back. You got Billy. From the time that he was still a teenager, on the field, still there. Second generation. Debbie, his second wife now. Second generation missionary. You got Karen, second generation missionary with an ex-long-haired hippie. First generation missionary. Converted and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Serving the Lord, generations. My son Michael's there. Got Kelly, married a missionary. Marco. Second generation.
Amen.
Third generation.
Amen.
Third generation. Three generations. I've been getting a support list every month for 22 years. There's three generations on that support list now. This church has been committed for three generations.
Amen.
To the work of the Lord.
Amen.
You have a very special thing. We look around and we're in a little shack here, and we're insignificant in the eyes of men, but it's not so.
That's right.
It's not so. This is something that is building in eternity. Another thing that makes this very special and very important is the message of your missionaries. We're not here asking for money to help us build a church building or put clothes and shoes on people's feet. We've come to the understanding that the economic influence, American economic influence, is a hindrance to the gospel. It's confusing. Am I going there because I want to learn of the Lord? I want to serve the Lord? I want a spiritual experience, a relationship with the Lord? Or am I there because the gringos are bringing me shoes and clothes? It's harder to say no to the needs of those people than it is to give them. A lady was losing her house, and I could, on one credit card, bail her out. It's not what we're there for. And if I did that, she'd owe me. If you did that, she would get confused. Am I here because of the Lord? And I'd take away the opportunity for her to grow in faith, to trust the Lord. Your missionaries have a very unique ministry, very unique message. I've been around and know a lot of missionaries, and they don't focus on the spiritual. They focus on the carnal and hope to get them the spiritual. And they end up with churches that are weak and in complete need of themselves, need of the missionary. We have churches that are independent of us. I don't know if it's going to hurt your feelings, but there isn't a first or second church of Oak Knoll in Mexico. There's not even the first church of Bill Kincaid or Mike Jackson or Dale West. It's the Church of the Living God.
Amen.
They are steadfast to the Word, and they do not deny the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They respect you. They thank you. They look to you, but they're not Oak Knollers. They're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they got their own elders. They got their own leadership, and they don't depend on a check from a gringo. That makes this very special, very unique, and very effective. Another reason that this conference is so very important is because of those very ones that we left there in Mexico. There are hundreds meeting at this moment in the parks, couple three in buildings, praising the Lord, studying, looking to be rebuked and exhorted by His Word. People that have been saved because of the influence of this church and your missionaries. This mission conference is important to them. They look to you for example and encouragement. Over and over again, the question is, well, what would 602 Oak Knoll do? How did they get started? What are they doing in these type of situations? You're an example. And to this conference to be any less than an opportunity to improve our example, to look beyond ourselves to the needs of them, we'd be a failure. I'm asking you to concentrate this morning on what this mission conference is about. Get involved in it. See what God has to speak to you about, because there's hundreds down there. Maybe some of you have kind of don't know, you're new here, you lost track. The influence of this church and your missionaries. There are two churches started by your missionaries in San Luis Potosí, meeting at this moment. A brother in the first church in Seleni went out and started preaching in the villages around. He has two churches started and another one. He's going to another city and starting a third church. That's five churches in San Luis Potosí. León Guanajuato, your missionaries went there and started a church. And when we left, they kept evangelizing. They got 40, 50 preachers in the street. There are now three different meetings in different parts of town where they meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they evangelize as by the example of this church. Aguascalientes, your missionaries went there. They meet in a building. They have over 100 and some people meeting there. They have sent out missionaries themselves. Your missionaries went to Irapuato. There's now a church there. Lagos de Moreno. Is that brother still meeting, brother? Brother Adrian. Several brothers went there. They faithfully preached that entire city. I don't believe there's a town in Mexico that's been more evangelized than Lagos de Moreno. One man got saved. His wife was against it. His children were against it. Adrian Mafani, he said, well, my work's here done. He went and started another church. And that man has won his family. And he's had meetings. We've run a lost contract. But he's had meetings again in Lagos de Moreno. Your missionaries went to Salamanca. Church is there today. Amen. Missionaries were sent out of the church, Mexican men, out of the church in León to Celaya. There's a church there of 40, 50 people. The last missionary is about to leave and go to Pachuca with Marco and I. And leave a church functioning in Celaya, Mexico. Querétaro. Your missionary started a church. It's now divided into two groups. And they've just bought a piece of land and they're going to put up a canvas and they're going to have one meeting in the building. Or the lot, the vacant lot with a piece of tarp over it, and another meeting is going to continue in the park. Guadalajara, the church in León sent out its own Mexican missionaries to Guadalajara, and it's a church meeting this morning in Guadalajara. Morelia is a church there that has just been left on their own. The brothers there moved to Toluca, where Michael and Bill are finishing up their meeting this morning, and then they'll come up to join us. Another church in Toluca, Mexico. Zacatecas. A missionary out of Aguascalientes went to Zacatecas, and he has a church with believers. Someone there is actually preaching in the street with him. There's meetings this morning in Zacatecas, Mexico. I got 18 churches, 10 of them started by missionaries, and 8 of them by the converts that they won.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is important. There are literally hundreds of people that are here, that are there, depending on us here. Not your financial support, your sacrifice to send your youth, your sacrifice to support them, your sacrifice to hold reins over them. You know, I have to be more careful what I say here than I do down there. I'll be honest. I got people here that are looking at what I'm saying. This mission conference brings us back to what's really important. We hope that we challenge you. 18 churches. The center part of Mexico was one of the least evangelized places on the face of the earth. You had to go to Arabia, to Saudi Arabia, you had to go to Turkey, someplace like that to get to a place that was less evangelized. It's got to be one of the most evangelized. There's over 100 preachers of the gospel in the streets every week. Amen. In the center of Mexico.
Amen.
God used this church to send that. Don't think less of it. Don't overlook the importance of it. This mission conference is very important because this church, doing what is right, doing what God has commanded, puts a great big target. We are under attack. Under constant attack, year after year. Hard things. Very hard things. Difficult things. Satan is not going to let this go unnoticed. The whole world may pass it over. Christianity as a whole isn't going to take much notice, but Satan doesn't. He knows that the people's lives have been changed and they're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus and they've been saved and they've been rescued from hell. And this is damaging to his pride. He's losing because of a small, worldly speaking, insignificant influence of a little place called 602. We're under a great attack. For that reason, we need to gather together. And we need to strengthen each other through His Word and through the encouragement of knowing that God is having His way in the lives of the ones you send, there's fruit being given. It's no small thing. Hundreds and hundreds of people are on hard benches. If it's raining, it's raining on them. If it's wind blowing, they're sitting in a park praising His name right now, all over the center of Mexico. I think that this church needs to realize that the importance of its doctrine. When I first went to Mexico, I had ideas, I had things that people had told me, but I had no real foundation of doctrine and good teaching. This church has got good, strong doctrine, and I've seen it tested and proved. For years, we've stood face to face with someone of a different opinion and argued and debated and contended for the faith and watched the Word of God in context shut their mouths. Nearly every conversation of someone that's not willing to admit they were wrong ends up in, but what Bible do you carry? And what does it say in the Greek? And they run circles around trying to discredit and deny the Word of God. And the simple, pure context of what it says shuts their mouth. I watched brothers that were prepared and I learned from it. Our doctrine's true. It's tested. It's tried, and you should test it. Don't be afraid to get in front of someone and say, this is what it says. And when you get embarrassed, go back and study it. Study it for yourself. Know your doctrine. It's a blessed thing. Something worth contending for.
Amen.
The counsel you have. You have some men and women in this church that have been through the rough times, and they went through the rough times by the Word of God. And they're there, prepared and ready to give you counsel in your hard time. Not with human reasoning, but with the Word of God. Thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
Take advantage of it. Years and years of experience and understanding and learning the Word of God is at your disposal. This church is important to you. Another thing that makes it very important is discipline. As I said, when I was a little boy, I was raised up in this church. I never once saw anyone called up and rebuked and commanded to repent of their sin. Not one time. Now, maybe up north in Michigan, there's not that many sinners, but here at Oak Knoll, they seem to happen. Praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
The cleansing of the church and the cleansing of oneself to be called down on sin and say, I was in sin, and ask God and ask the church for forgiveness. We never saw anybody churched, as they say, where this brother won't repent. We break fellowship. Never. Well, he would go off the roll, and then we wouldn't win the competition with the sister church and how many members we have. The purity of the church isn't important. Here it is. I've seen fathers discipline and rebuke their children in public. I've seen children, their fathers. I've seen situations that in a human speaking would break your heart. But in God's understanding, it's cleansing. It's putting us in a position to receive blessing. It's putting the person that was in sin in an opportunity to be forgiven and receive blessing. You give thanks to God for discipline. Don't despise it. Seek it out. Remember the day you got saved? Remember the day when God forgave your sins?
Amen.
We'll talk about that tonight. That's what happens in discipline. Praise the Lord for discipline. Turn, if you would, in Colossians 1:24. More important than all this, I think, is the importance of the church, the necessity of the church under God. Colossians 1:24 says, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church." We are the expression of the body of Jesus Christ on the earth. We have been commended a tremendous responsibility. If the world is going to see Christ, it's going to be through the church. We are the expression of the body of Christ on the earth. That's a tremendous responsibility. The very Christ that bought you with a price saved your soul.
Amen.
The very Christ that counsels you and leads you through your difficult times is the same Christ that you are to express on the earth. The earth is going to see Christ through us. That puts this church very important. And I know that the missions effort of this church is one of the very important factors of this. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. This church is taking it serious. This church has a testimony. Testimony that I believe is worthy to be commended. This mission conference will make sure we don't lose it. Your presence in this mission conference is that important. It's important as the expression of the body of Christ on the earth. Another thing that makes this very, very special is found in Ephesians 5:25. The value of something is fixed or is placed by several reasons, and one of which is what someone's willing to give for it. 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even in the church, also love the church, and gave himself for it. The tremendous sacrifice, Christ giving himself for us. We are important to God. This meeting is important to God. You have to visualize that God himself, in giving himself, that we can have this church. Don't think less of it. God doesn't. God gave all for us. Look in Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So I begin to think of this. I just can't comprehend. If there's any verse that needs to be taken by faith, this is it. How are the principalities and powers, how are the spirits in the air, the angels, going to comprehend the wisdom of God through us? When we look around at our frailties and our problems, all the troubles we have are unfaithfulness. It says that God's going to show to all the spirits and all the principality power things that we don't understand his wisdom through us. We got an awesome responsibility. Very important. I tried to grasp what's this like, and all I could think of was a huge Colosseum. Bigger than the one in Rome, this huge Colosseum, and seated all around are all the principalities and powers, or all the spirits of the air, are the angels, every creature of God that's not human. And they're concentrated and looking down in the center of this huge Colosseum on a little patch of earth, pun intended. They're looking down on earth, on us, and they're looking down at this corner, and they're amazed at God's wisdom. You ever have the feeling, you ever realize that the whole universe is focused on this corner? We get so wrapped up in politics. We get so wrapped up in the wars around the world. Just like the brother said, they come and go. The world doesn't notice us, but God and everything that's with him does. This is where his wisdom is being expressed. And you say, how is that possible? I was thinking, how does a principal talk to a power? You know, where they call each other. And you know, Mr. Power, look at them guys. Look at them down there. I mean, they're the enemies of God. They're the ones that once fought for unrighteousness. They were the ones that enjoyed their sin. And now they're meeting together to be more like him. They're meeting to praise his name, to read and study his word. That's wisdom of God. That confounds everything else. We have to come to the understanding that what we're a part of here is bigger than ourselves. You've sent out missionaries and you've supported missions because you realize that the work of God is bigger than you. Bigger than your desires. Bigger than your plans. So you give an offering. You yourself go. Because there's something bigger than ourselves. And I think that's one of the things that shows God's wisdom. He has taken his vanquished foes, his enemies, and they now are concentrating on something that's bigger than themselves. Willing to sacrifice for what God wants. Willing to sacrifice for the plans of God and deny themselves. Where do you see that anywhere in the world? We have a huge responsibility. Through Christ, who strengthened us, all things are possible. But it's our responsibility to show that wisdom. We have people here that meet together now and actually like each other, that in the world they wouldn't. Yeah, you got political difference. If we talk politics, we'd split this thing four ways. If we talked our favorite basketball team, it's all centered around Jesus Christ and Him. And what we desire and what we want, we can leave at the door. We can actually just throw it out of our lives. We've cleansed ourselves from divisive things. That confounds the principalities and powers that are looking down on us this morning. Confounds them. Another thing I got to think of, Mr. Powers looking at Mr. Principal, and he says, them guys at Oak Knoll are crazy. They put out a lot of money to send away some of these guys for a whole year. And then they send them money to bring them back. And then they sit down and let them preach at them. Where do you see this in the world? It's glorious in the eyes of the Lord. He is sitting there with a smile on his face saying, I'm expressing my wisdom. And everything else that I've created is at awe of the expression of that wisdom. You're part of that here. You're part of what God is really doing. This mission conference, important? Vitally important. It refocuses and recenters us on the things that are important to God. You're going to have to sacrifice some to come this week. Yes, you are. You have to put some plans aside. Yes, you are. If you want to be a part of the most important thing going on in the earth today, what God's doing. Take some faith. Take some dedication. Take some sacrifice. One other thing. Look at Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. It says in 5, 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I began to read this verse, I got goose pimples, and we're going to be a gift to Jesus Christ. And then I had to correct that. Jesus Christ bought us with a price.
Amen.
We're not going to be a gift. He's already bought us. We're His. What it's talking about here, God the Father is going to gift wrap us. God the Father is going to take away every spot and blemish and all those things we have. God the Father has already started to put in us the faith to continue on in this work without having all the hardship, a tremendous outreach that we don't even know because of the sacrifice that we've been willing to put out. And they're going to stand there, and God's going to go to present them to Jesus Christ. And he said, just a minute, we still haven't adorned them. And out comes all the angels bearing all the crowns and the precious adornments that he's going to place upon us. I just get goosebumps when I think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be presented a bride, just spotless, without wrinkle, adorned, and it's us. We're part of something bigger than ourselves, your brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And we have an opportunity in another week to refocus, to get a hold of what this really means to us, to those in the field, and to God Himself. At this mission conference, not just be another week that passes, we got it over with, but a change in our lives, that we be what God has us to be. Amen.